Okay, it's one of those phone-ins that we were going to have a guest, and then yesterday it was obviously she wasn't going to come in, and we're going to hold that one off. Alison Logan was going to come in, and we were going to talk about veg and so on and so forth, which is very apt at the moment. But sadly, her car failed the MOT, so she couldn't come in. So I thought we'd have another crack at Scottish independence, because I think there's a lot left unsaid. Someone's on the phone already. Hi, who's this?
Hello, it's Jackie.
Hi, Jackie, how are you?
I'll get in first before I get on with my other jobs.
What's your other job?
I know people are probably getting a bit fed up with it, but it is a massive issue in our lifetime. It's not likely to ever happen again. And I think it mustn't be taken lightly by either side of the border, especially not Scotland. But obviously the great big issues are being dealt with, but my concern is silly little things that maybe no one's ever spoken about. For example, the border area between Scotland and England, whereas, like I said before, one side of the road could be in Scotland, one could be in England. What happens to kiddies that are going to school and have to cross the border? Whereas now they can just perhaps, you know, their school might be in England or their school might be in Scotland, and they might be on that borderline. And what about council contracts to take children to school in taxis?
Right.
No one's thought, I mean, they're only sort of, they're very, in the grand scheme of things, they're quite insignificant, but they will have a tremendous impact on an awful lot of people, ordinary folk. No one's addressed those little things that aren't high profile.
Do you know, it's interesting, because I think you are right, and the simplest things that are being highlighted, they're not really being answered, are they?
No, the doctor's surgery. You might live in Scotland, and your doctor might be just the other side in England. Have you got to get passports, you know, to go to the doctor? Have they got to cross border patrols, these kiddies, to get to school? You know, it's going to be those sorts of things that will affect ordinary people every single day, not the great big business magnates of this world, but the ordinary folk. The border country, I would think, wouldn't know where they are.
Yeah, no, I can see. I can see there's a lot of logic in what you're saying. It's almost like maybe they should go back, rethink this and these simple things. You know, maybe they should go back, rethink this and go again, because I would have thought that if you're having a campaign where these questions are being asked, then surely they've got to be answered. And all I'm hearing at the moment is that there are too many people that are sidestepping basic questions, and all they're doing, I mean, on the other hand, you've got the three supposedly main parties, gone up to Scotland and making all sorts of promises, but they can't actually promise what they're actually going to give. And why would you sign up to something that you had an idea roughly what you were going to get, but not wholeheartedly? And I just think there's so many things that are left, the questions are left unanswered.
But am I right in thinking that the three main parties have now signed like an official pledge to say exactly what Scotland will have if it's a no vote? But the yes vote, it's all kind of promises from Alex Salmond, who he doesn't actually know. He can't give any written guarantees as to what's going to happen. It's everything is very much speculation, isn't it, on both sides, because it's never happened before. But the three main Westminster parties have now got together and got a format and have said to Scotland, this is what we will do, and they have all signed it. Now, to my mind, whether you like them or whether you don't like them, that's a little bit more of a guarantee, a written pledge, than someone who's saying, oh yeah, we'll be all right, we can do this, we can do that, when he has absolutely no idea of what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, it's kind of scary.
It is kind of scary. I think it's kind of scary. And we honestly don't know what impact it will have on us, do we? It's got to have some kind of knock-on effect, whether it's come through business, through anything. But in the end, it will have some effect. I mean, already I think stock markets are down, aren't they? Businesses are pulling out. I mean, that's a huge issue that it is really quite alarming. And I also heard over the weekend that someone had said something like it could liken us to the Great Depression of the 30s, if everything falls out and everything sort of collapses,
but
because
you think
of Scotland going independent.
But do you think some of this, I mean, we've got to read between the lines. I mean, is that not scaremongering?
We don't know, do we? Because it's never happened, I'm saying.
Yeah, let's be honest.
But people have got to kind of get a point across on both sides, obviously. I think it's really quite an absolutely humongous kind of decision, and I don't think I'd like to be making those decisions. I don't think I don't know. It's easy to sort of fall in love with the idea of being independent, and isn't it, and doing all your own thing, but I'm not honestly certain as to how that can really come about and everything, you know, get better or even, you know, remain the same. I really don't know. But so it's just those little niggly, silly little points that I've thought about. Rather, you know, like the border, like Berwick, it's really not in Scotland. It's on the borders, isn't it? But I bet there's some part of Berwick that's probably just over the border. What do those people do? Where do they live? Are they Scottish? Are they English? Are they independent? Are they part of the UK? If there is going to be a border control, when does that come into effect?
They're questions that need answering.
And they haven't been answered, have they?
And how can you vote for something that you don't know the answer to? I mean, honestly, I think that the best thing that can happen here is you know, they've got 48 hours, really, for somebody to own up and say, answer these questions.
Well, no one's asked those, though, have they?
I'm pretty sure they're asking the questions. I would be asking, well, okay, you're saying if we vote no, you're going to give us a little bit more by way of financial help. This is from the government. This is George Osborne. But how much more? What are you actually going to give us? You know, is it set in stone? Probably not. Well, why should I vote for you then? Because you're not actually telling us anything. You just want to prevent us from voting yes, and you're offering us a sweetener, but no one knows how sweet it's going to be.
But, and I think because they don't want, because the Westminster government doesn't want it to be independent. I don't think it's just to keep because they don't want to lose. I think it is to keep the United Kingdom. It's not a personal thing. It's not about you don't like me, I don't like you. It is it's a whole big issue, isn't it? And as David Cameron said yesterday, you know, it's forever, isn't it? It's not something you can change your mind about. Even the Queen has said, hasn't she now, please, Scotland's got to think very carefully. I mean, obviously, she has to sort of be independent of any opinion, doesn't she? But I think it's really quite worrying.
I've got to be honest, I think the Queen, in all of this, last week, I was thinking she holds probably the key in all of this. And when she's come out and said what she said this week, officially, think very carefully about what you do. That's all I'm going to sway. Mm. She's not kind of swaying anybody.
No.
She's being totally, pardon the pun, independent on that. But I think if you read between the lines, I think from what I can make of that, I might be completely wrong, is think very carefully about what you want, ideally. But also, you know, it's a case of you might be breaking up the union.
Mm.
I mean, there's an awful lot to read into, but I think that's what she means.
Yeah, and I don't think it's any good comparing what's happening with Ireland and Northern Ireland, because, I mean, you can hardly say that's been a harmonious sort of split, can you? But, you know, the wars that have gone on there, I mean, I'd hate to think that there'd be a kind of any animosity. And you know, fights and things. I mean, I hope that doesn't happen. But you just don't know, do you, how people are going to react? And also, the other thing that I thought of is that if it's 49-51 or whichever direction it goes, you can bet your life, if it's a yes vote, they will say Scotland has said yes. And if it's a no vote, Scotland has said no. But that won't be true if it's that close. It'll only be half of the nation, won't it? Unless it's a landslide either side.
Yeah.
It's not...
I see what you're saying.
It's really not going to be a resounding victory for either side, is it, if it's that close?
Interesting. And what was the other thing I was going to say about the amount of people that will vote? I mean, sadly, when people vote in our governments in the last, you know, few times that we have, you know, there's not been a massive amount of people that have actually voted. I bet you that the turnout for this will be probably very, very high. We're probably
talking 80%.
Yeah, I was going to say in the 80s, and which does suggest that, you know, which is a good thing. I think it's a wonderful thing when more and more people are actually voting and can be bothered. So it would appear that, you know, more people are bothered by this. It's not it's not a case of only 40% are going to vote, and you know, in a minute they can't turn around and say, "Well, I didn't vote for that." It's no. You know, I think it's a fascinating debate. I really do. Yeah. But it's one of those debates that, okay, will it really affect us? We don't know until it happens.
No, we don't know. I mean, everyone's saying this, but nobody actually knows how it's going to affect whichever way it goes, do we? Nobody can concretely say this is what's going to happen, because it's never happened to us, and we don't know. And I think that's the scary thing, we don't know.
No, I think that's about right too. Yeah, scary, scary. So if you were a Scots person living in Scotland, what would you vote for?
I would do a no vote, because I don't want to see the breakup of the United Kingdom.
But even so, you know, that there are Scottish people out there that are getting a bad deal because of it.
Life, isn't it? There's bad deals all around, isn't there? If the Westminster government will do what they have said, even more so for Scotland, give them even more powers and more of whatever they want, more say in everything they do, then really Scotland can have their cake and eat it, I think. And I don't know. I think I'd be too scared to vote the other way, because I just wouldn't know. It's like jumping into an unknown, invisible vacuum, isn't it? You don't know what will happen. It might not happen immediately, but 5, 6, 7, 10 years down the line, and it all went, you know, wrong, then there's no going back for anybody, is there? Perhaps I'm a bit of a coward, I don't know, but just on a sort of a personal level, I just don't like to think of the breakup of the United Kingdom.
But what I mean, that in itself is something that I've heard other people say. Once you've lost it, that's it. There ain't no going back. But is that absolutely true? Is that absolutely true? Because
that's what they're saying.
Just say for yeah.
What you're saying is, can there be another referendum in 10 years' time to reverse it? It's not like a vasectomy, is it?
Well,
get a reversal 10 years down the line.
I think that's kind of scaremongering. Because I do think that, okay, they could do this and it could last 10 years, and they might realise that, hey, look, we're actually better together, we want to come back. Now, what's the stopping them having a referendum to come back?
I don't know.
Or would that be down to us?
No one's thinking about that, because Alex Salmond's thinking, oh, that's it, we break away, we're independent, and the government has to say, you know, because it's not, you just can't change your mind down the line. I think it would have to be again. It's been years and years, hasn't it, in the coming now, this thing, I think. So I just don't know how long they give it. How long do you give it before you realise it is or isn't working?
Well,
it's all unknown, isn't it, Ian?
It is. That's the scary part in all of this. It's out there, and you don't know
you
for
just
sure.
You don't know, do you? No, it's like sort of, you know, going into a big fog, isn't it? You just don't know where you're going to be led, do you? I think it's quite scary.
But if you were, just say for instance, if you were very close to Alex Salmond, I look at this and I think, right, okay, what's going to happen here? If they vote no, that means that the Scottish are going to get a little bit more from the British government. And if they vote yes, they get what they want. They get what Alex Salmond wants.
Alex Salmond wants.
He's on a winner. Either way, he's on a winner, because, you know, even if he loses this, Scotland get more. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how other people will see it. Is it a case of, right, okay, well, we've had our little tantrum, we've had our little moment in the sunshine, and we're going to get a little bit more because we've stood up for ourselves. Yeah. Is that going to be enough for people to say, well, I'm going to vote no then? I reckon it might just be the clincher.
We'll know on Friday morning, I suppose. I wonder how soon we'll all know. Gosh, Friday's going to be nothing but Scotland, isn't it, all day long on news. But, well, see what happens. See what there's life after the referendum.
We certainly will. OK, thanks.
OK.
Thanks very much for your call.
Bye.
Cheers,
bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, it's 12:23. I've got some audio that I wanted to play you because it was kind of, I think it was independent stuff, and it was just fascinating to hear. But the phone's ringing. We're talking about Scotland. We seem to have a problem with our other phone at the moment, and it's since we've moved studios. So there may be effort. We may have to do some stuff on that in the next couple of days. But just bear with us. Hi, who's this?
Hello, Ian. Sorry, I couldn't resist. It's Jay.
Go on, Jay.
Hey,
how has things changed for you in the last week?
They haven't really. I've noticed the extreme biased and influenced by the media ratcheting up as it appears that the yes vote is becoming ever more popular. I've noticed that, and I'm being impartial on that judgment, but. Apart from that, no, there's an underswell. I was just going to address a couple of points of Jackie's, actually, to help her out.
Feel free.
Because some of the, you know, this last-minute package deal, this, commitment that they've pledged to, well, actually, a lot of people don't realise that some of the postal votes have already been, they've already been going on for over a week now, and there's something called the Purdah rules. As the sort of the constitutional rules of this whole referendum voting process. Now you can't do that. You can't shift the goalposts now because tens of thousands of people have already voted via a postal vote. And also this has been going on for the best part of 3 years. And you can't now, as it looks like the yes is swaying over, cobble together some kind of extremely complicated constitutional stuff to offer people. There's no way they could implement it. I don't believe that the offer has anything in it, to be honest. On another side of things, people are looking into it. I don't even know that it could be lawful at this point, at this stage of the game. I don't see how they could get something so complicated drafted into a comprehensive document. As far as the passport things go, we'd have the same kind of, because these things have been discussed and debated in extreme detail. It's just, I don't know where Jackie's getting her information from, if it's just from mainstream UK media, then you're going to get what they give you. But if you bother to actually look at the conversations and have a look at the referendum website and stuff, it's all there. And they would adopt something like the Schengen system, like they have in Europe, where you don't need a passport to travel in between countries. So, it's a similar, no walls go up, no barriers go up, everything stays the same. It's just, the Scottish people would have a Scottish passport, but after that, freedom of movement is completely benign, really. The border thing, with the kids going backwards and forwards to school, that's an interesting one because that already exists. It doesn't exist in many places, but in Berwick, Berwick upon Tweed, well, that's bang on the border, and it's no problem. It's just no problem. There is no taxis going backwards and forwards to drop off kids in school in England. The only scenario that takes place in is in Berwick, and I think a few times I've had a sort of mock referendums there. I think a couple of times that they've voted that they would prefer to be in Scotland. So that would be clarified. It wouldn't be you're jumping in and out of England and Scotland. You would be denominated as either one country or the other and live under those systems,
I've got a question for you, Jay.
Yeah, go.
And it's something that I stumbled upon this morning on the internet. How true it is, I don't know. But they were, and maybe we'll play the clip of the audio very soon. But it was all to do with the nuclear, because there's a nuclear plant, isn't there, in Scotland?
Yeah, well, that's a massive reason. I'm glad you brought it up, because it's a huge reason that people wanted the referendum in the first place. Yeah, Trident, the Trident nuclear submarine base is on the Clyde. Yeah, what was the question?
Well, the question is, what they're saying is that they want to have the choice whether they have it there or not.
From the SNP's point of view, and the majority, I think, of the voters, because you've got to remember, please, disassociate SNP from the yes vote. It's not a political vote. It's a vote for independence. But mostly even the yes voters want rid of Trident. They don't want it, you know. It's a huge nuclear weapons base 30 miles away from Scotland's largest populated city. They never voted to have it there. It was foisted upon them back in the day, and they don't want it there. And that's not to say, because, you know, I'm a believer in this, some advocate, oh, you know, let them take it down south and have it in Falmouth or Portsmouth or whatever. I disagree. My personal view is decommission the bloody lot of them, you know. I don't see why anyone should have to have them. You can't, I mean, it's nuts. You can't use them. They're weapons of annihilation, and I'm not being hyperbolic with that. They, you know, they really are. You can't use them. If we use them, it's toast for everybody. So, you know, and they're not a deterrent either, because the weapons that they have there, these nuclear submarines, they're first strike weapons. That means that they're, you know, we would fire them first. They're not a deterrent.
What happens if just say, for instance, you know, Scottish people vote yes? Mm-hmm. Does that mean that they can disarm the nuclear plant?
Well, if they vote yes, because at the moment you're under couched in the SNP, and in their white paper, and again refer Jackie to that. All these details are in the white paper. That is one of the solid things within it, that's non-negotiable. They want rid of them ASAP. And, you know, I can't blame them.
Is it something, though, that... I mean, obviously, because George Osborne and his cronies have said, look, you sit at the table and say no, we'll give you a lot more. Is it one of the things that they are talking about as if to say, right, OK, we don't want to negotiate this, we just want rid of, and that is, if we say no, that's what we want. Is that part of the deal or not?
No. It's not been brought into it. This deal that doesn't exist, Ian. Have you read it?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I haven't, but I'm of the opinion that too little too late.
It is too little too late, and as I said to you, how would you feel, irrespective of nationality now, let's say you'd sat with your wife and your family and you'd really debated this point for a long time, and you came to your own conclusions, whatever they are, and you'd already submitted your vote based on the information given to you at that time. And then, lo and behold, a week and so later, there's all these different offers apparently on the table. How would that make you feel?
Well, I'll tell you how I feel, and I'm just looking at it purely from, you know, I'm going to stick myself up in Scotland and think, right, okay, how would I feel? I would feel like someone's trying to pull a fast one. Someone's trying to give me a sweetener, but you don't know how sweet it's going to be.
Well, I suppose you could look at it like that now, you know, with the luxury of having your vote. But what I'm saying is, you've already voted. And let's say you were wavering to a no. You're thinking, oh, I'm not really sure. You know, it is a bit of a jump in the dark. Not sure. But from the evidence I've got in front of me at the moment, I'm going to vote yes. Right? And then all of a sudden, this deal, that isn't a deal, but let's say, you know, you're reading it as that. All of this has come up on the news in the past day or so. And you would feel, you know, democratically robbed, wouldn't you? I would.
Yeah, I'm coming round to that way of thought. I honestly, how I feel at the moment, if I was a Scottish person and living in Scotland, I would vote yes. And I just think, yes, and it's also very, very sad that you've had to do it. Because if just say, for instance, our government would have been fairer in the first place, you wouldn't have had to go down this road.
No, I mean, I've had this conversation with you know, various members of my loved ones and whatever, and been asked myself my specific point of view, you know, being Scots, and I've said I would have much preferred not to have even had this conversation, but based on the way things are and the way things continue to be, for, you know, constant austerity and a government that just is out of touch and completely blind to the entire population of the UK, I don't see what choice you've got. You know, I would much prefer not to have the conversation at all. But can I take the gloves off for a moment, Ian? Just for a moment.
Go on, take them off.
Yeah, they're off. Bare knuckles. I don't see this as a Scottish English thing. I don't see it as a, I don't even see it as a Scottish independence thing. I'll be brutally honest with you. I'll tell you what I see it as. I see it as a class thing. It's a rejoining of the working classes. That's what I see it as in Scotland. And I wish the English working classes and the Welsh and the Irish would wake up to it too, because we are all being completely put upon, and Scotland happened to be in the position of being able to break free of those shackles and create something that resembles a bit more of an egalitarian society. You know, it's out of hand, people eating out of food banks and benefits being cut and people that are ill being forced to work. And what have we come to, you know? I mean, I honestly don't, if you look at it in the holistic lens and forget about Scottish and English and all the rest of it, all that national gibberish, you look at it and you look at society as a whole and you say, if we had a chance, just a chance to make it better, even a little bit, would you do it? And I think you would have to, you know, because it is obvious. You've got to bear in mind that 80% of the MPs in Westminster right now are personal millionaires, Ian. They're not in touch with us at all. And every part of our economic system is geared towards feeding the big multinationals and your share dividends, which are predominantly owned by the wealthy folk in the first place. It is completely geared to that. It isn't. We haven't got an economy that's looking after the people. It's just an abstract thing that's there, and we're all marching along to it, while a few in society benefit from it, and everyone else. And it will erode. It'll erode from the bottom up. And you know, even though some aren't being affected right now, if we carry on like this, it will be. And it is a leap in the dark, as Jackie said. But what's your option? Do we all just trudge around in the swamp with these lead boots on? And things are going to get doomier and doomier and doomier as we go like this, and economically tighter. And
I've got something I want to say, and also a question. What I want to say is, I look at this from a stand well back, have a look at it, and say, right, okay, this may be a way for Britain, if it needs to heal itself, and Scotland may lead the way in that healing process. But what are the pitfalls? What's the things that it's not like you look at it and you think, right, then nothing can go wrong. What's the worst thing that can happen in your eyes?
Absolutely, there's pitfalls. There's going to be pitfalls. We just don't know. I don't know. That the powers that be make it difficult for us, to be brutally honest with you. Because it isn't hard. We can run banking. You don't need bankers to run a bank, Ian. It's not difficult. You don't need super-duper specialists to run a welfare system or a benefit system. You just need systems that are basic and cohesive and coherent for the common good, and not this pyramid scheme that keeps going up to the top. And we can do that. And there's many, many, many experts, or at least, you know, very intelligent, decent people just hovering in the wings, waiting to step in. Problem is, the vested interests don't want that. So the pitfalls will be tripwires that are put there for us. Because, you know, democracy and social change and social justice, it never comes easy. It's never been given to us, Ian. It's been fought for every step of the way. It is never given, never passed over. And we would be naive to think that it would be. But we're at such a point now where, for everybody concerned, whether you're wealthy or skint or whatever, things are so out of kilter. Whether that's environmentally, economically, social justice-wise, we have no choice. We have to address some kind of balance. We've got to. So I can't foresee what these pitfalls would be, but I guarantee that there will be some. But again, what do you do? Do you just carry on? Surely there's some vibrancy and at least excitement in the not knowing, as compared to just being locked in this, you know, apathetic sense of anxiety all the time. You know, go for it, you know, go for broke, and at least try and create at least a bit of a better society, you know, because it really isn't working right now.
Well, I said it last week, and I say it again, I really hope that you get what you want at the end of all of this. I really hope that, you know, it's all positive and it's all good, and whatever happens, it was for the best.
But don't you want the same?
Of course we do, and that's why I say I think it would be, you know, it's a a smaller country that is, you know, gonna hopefully, fingers crossed, heal itself, and us as a nation can then look at it and think, right, okay, this is what they did, this is what we need to do.
My concern isn't for Scotland, as far as post-referendum, and let's say it goes independent. My concern for Scotland is, I don't have any concerns for Scotland. They could create their own central bank, their own currency, no problem. And if worst comes to the worst, you've got a population of 5.5 million people there. They can trade with themselves if the worst comes to the worst. You know, that's all an economy is. It doesn't have to be global transaction. My concern is for England, because we've got a much higher population, much more disenfranchised. I think registered at the moment, there's something like 96% registered to vote for this referendum. And in England, we've got, I can't remember left election numbers properly, but I think it was something like 36, 37% registered to vote. And then we ended up with a split hung parliament coalition. It's not even democratically elected government. My worry is for England. That's my worry. It's not for Scotland, not at all. They'll do fine. They've got 8.6% of the population, Ian, a huge amount of land mass, an embarrassing amount of natural resources. They haven't got a problem. The problem is down south. If we're going to wake up and actually get some cohesion together and try and shake off this yoke of self-interested Westminster. So I wouldn't look at it, you know, that hope what Scotland gets what it wants. I really want England to wake up and start, you know, maybe trying to create something a bit better.
Admire your honesty, I really do, and it's nice to hear. Hey, look, we've got to go to a commercial break in a moment, but thanks very much for being there.
Cheers, Ian.
Thanks, Jay.
Bye.
Cheers. Before we do, I've got to do this. I've got to play you this. Now, I started to listen to this, and then somebody arrived, and then I thought, well, I've got to, you know, just bear with me. If you've been trying to get through on the phones, unfortunately, we've got two phones, but one of the lines is only working at the moment, so apologies for that. We're going to play this bit of audio, go into a commercial break, and then we'll take some calls. But this is someone actually explaining in simple terms what will happen.
Welcome to this, I hope, helpful guide to the Scottish referendum. Here it is, the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, but now facing its biggest shake-up, potentially, since Southern Ireland went its own way in 1922. If Scotland were to leave, just for starters, the UK would literally shrink. It would lose a third of its landmass, not to mention all those beautiful lochs and mountains. Its population would drop by 8%, and around $239 billion, or 9% of its GDP, would disappear. Scotland leaving could also affect Britain's standing in the world. Would it still deserve a permanent seat in the UN Security Council? Would it still have the same clout at the EU? And, as any divorcing couple knows, who gets what can be horribly messy, especially when you've been married since 1707. Among the problematic items, Britain's Scottish-based submarine-borne nuclear deterrent, the rest of the armed forces, and here are just a few of the bases, the oil and gas, and, well, the list is endless. But why a referendum right now? Because this man, Alex Salmond, promised to hold one if his party was victorious in the 2011 elections to the Scottish Parliament, which it duly was. As to the essence of the argument for independence, put simply, it's that surely Scotland would be best governed by the people who live there and its Parliament. At Westminster, all the mainstream parties want Scotland to stay and have been busily telling the Scots how much they're loved, while also warning them they'd be poorer and their future place in the world more uncertain if they vote for independence. And talking of voting, who's eligible? Well, anyone over 16 who lives in Scotland, so about 4 million people. And turnout is expected to be high.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. You can download all the movies, music and photos you like with no usage caps at breakneck speeds. Telephone them on 01983 240 240.
White Sight, here's how it works. You need glasses, Visit an optician, then bring your prescription along to the friendly team in Cross Street Ryde. White Sight is a boutique shop selling budget to designer frames and sunglasses, stockists of Dior, Gucci, Dolce & Gabbana, Ray-Ban and many more. They are an independent retailer, so you can shop locally for first-class service and great glasses. You'll be spoilt for choice. Either visit them in Cross Street Ryde or check out www.whitesight.co.uk.
White Crystal is an Isle of Wight charity selling still and carbonated spring water products, flavoured and water coolers, to fund care services, employment and life-enhancing opportunities for people with a range of disabilities. To see their fabulous wide range of products, go to www.whitecrystal.org.uk or call to place an order on 01983 520 128. That's 01983 520 128.
White Office Equipment Computer Repair is all you need to have your computer or laptop repaired from just £20 plus VAT. This includes all labour for as long as it takes us. Just drop your laptop or computer into our high street store at your convenience and collect it when it's been repaired. No need to book. Come and see us at the High Street, Sandown, opposite Sainsbury's, or call 400045. That's 400045.
As the nation's leading first aid charity, we at St John Ambulance believe nobody should die because they needed first aid and didn't get it. Yet only one in five of you would know what to do in the event of an emergency. So why not be the difference in your local community by volunteering with the St John Ambulance units at either Ryde or Newport? You'll learn life-saving skills which could be the difference between life and death.
This is Vectis Radio. Contact us on Skype at vectis.radio.
Have your say on the Isle of Wight phone-in, brought to you in association with White Fibre. You can download all the movies, music and photos you like with no usage caps at breakneck speeds. Go to www.whitefibre.com.
OK, before we go to our next caller, I've got an email here from David Randini. It says, your caller alludes to the system as they have in Europe, where counties just have an identity card to travel between countries. Would Scotland be able to join the EU? Question mark. Spain, for instance, would not allow this, as they would then have a problem with Catalonia. If Catalonia went independent, Spain would fold. And there are other countries where this would happen. Also, if Scotland go independent, who is next? I reckon Northern Ireland or maybe the Isle of Wight. I am also confused. Why does Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland have separate from British... are separate from British Parliament in Westminster, but not England? That's a good question. Now, let's go to our next caller, which just happens to be Keith. Hi, Keith.
Hello, mate. How are you? All right?
I'm all right. How about you?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. Plodding on still, as you do.
Good. Is this thing driving you crackers?
What's that? The election thing, whatever it's called?
Yes. By the independence or not.
Well, the bit that I'm, you know, looking at it from my point of view, where I'm registered as disabled and whatnot, and me benefits and whatnot, what's going to happen to Scotland when they go independent? How are the benefits system going to work out, the National Health Service?
Good question. I'm not the man to answer it.
No, because obviously, you know, the UK, well, Britain and whatnot, you know, we subsidise the health service for Scotland and also the benefit system for Scotland regarding housing benefits, disability benefit, that sort of thing. I just wondered whether they've all worked, well, they must have looked at that situation and sorted something out for that, wouldn't they?
Well, you would think so, but, you know, I've got to be honest. I mean, if what we've heard in the last couple of weeks is to go by, these questions I don't think have been answered on both sides. I'm being fair here. I don't think they've been answered.
Well, it's like pension schemes and whatnot. You know, if they go independent, will the pensioners still be able to claim off of the British for their pension? I don't know. Am I talking rubbish here? Or?
No, that's an interesting point, actually, isn't it?
I know, you know, I can't, you know, looking at the situation, I thought, well, either they sat down and thought, right, we've got this pot to cover that for the health service, the benefit side of it and whatnot, and, you know, look, even to the young mother with two kids that claims housing benefit and child benefit. You know, Britain's going to be better off because we're not paying the Scottish, but have the Scottish looked at this and got enough in their kitty to cover for that, do you think? They must have looked at the situation, wouldn't they?
Well, according to Jay, they're going to be all right. He's more worried about us.
Well, we'll be better off.
Will we?
Well, we're not paying, you know, we won't be paying the benefit scheme to Scotland. Or is there a clause that they've signed and said, well, you know, we don't know, do we? You know, we keep chucking millions of pounds into Europe for no reason at all that we seem to work out where it's going or what it's for.
Okay, let me just answer one question at a time here.
Yeah.
Jay's been in touch, actually. Scotland's NHS is already separate, as is the English and the Welsh.
Oh, right.
So it is separate.
So they're national housing. What about the benefit scheme?
I don't know. I would imagine if he's listening, he'll post something else that I can read in a moment. But,
yeah.
I mean, he's a man that's gone into it with, you know, a fine tooth comb.
And
I'm listening to him and I'm thinking, okay, well, you're a guy that you've gone into all this massive detail. I kind of trust Jay because he's gone through all the massive detail and worked it out. I'm looking at him thinking, well, you've asked a question, he's answered it. How many politicians do you know that you ask a question and they answer it that quick?
No, that's true, mate. It's like, you know, going off on another branch. You know, what about road tax and things like that?
Well, I've never actually been to Scotland, but the people tell me that the roads up there are immaculate, so they must be doing something right.
Yeah, but obviously, you know, they're paying into the British side of it, or the UK side of it, for the road tax, aren't they? You tax your vehicle. If a Scotsman wants to tax his vehicle, obviously he's paying Britain, isn't he?
Well, it won't be any, you know, if they vote yes, it will be going back into the Scottish coffers.
Well,
it'll
go back into Scottish, yeah, but what I'm saying, all that's got to be switched over then, isn't it? It's like, you know, it's not going to happen overnight, is it?
It will take a number of years to sort this out.
The way they've done it all and rake through it, you know, are the Scottish going to be sort of in rebellion against their own government if all of a sudden they cut the heating allowance for the elderly? If they say, right, you're not going to get that anymore, bang.
Yeah, but having said that, knowing full well that they've got all the oil up there,
yeah,
and I did read somewhere that you know, Scottish people are a bit upset that they don't get such a good deal on their heating.
Well, you know, the same as I do here, that 90% of the heating money that people get, they use it to go to Spain.
Yeah.
It's warmer, well, you know.
Well, there's that as well. But they say they don't get such a good deal when it comes to heating. And they said that Scottish people, because it's their oil, they ought to be up there in short sleeve, you know, shirts most of the time when they're indoors. But they're not, because it's damn cold and they don't get such a good deal on it.
No.
They don't get such a good deal on their own oil, which don't seem, you know, very sensible, does it? You can understand why they're a little bit upset. But, I mean, are we worried about that? Is that something that we're selfishly, as English people, worried about? Hey, look, they've got the oil on their side, and maybe if you're a lover of the old Scotch as well, you might be a bit concerned on that.
Yeah. All right, then, mate. Anyway, like I said, I was just wondering about that, so I'll get off and give somebody else a chance, mate.
Thanks for your call, Keith.
All right, mate.
Cheers now. Bye.
Bye.
And you, mate. Cheers. So let's hopefully there might be an answer here from Jay. If you want to give us a call, you can. You're probably going to be the last caller. 240-666 is the number. Ooh. Hi. Oh, they've gone. So 240-666, you will be the last caller. Go on, give it a go. Let's see if I can answer the phone properly this time. Hi, who's this?
Afternoon, old chap.
I was hoping you were going to call.
Do you know, I wanted to say that I agree 100% with what Jay said. I share all his fears. I share all his... every single point he made about the pros and cons of it, I completely agree with him. There's just one point I don't agree on, and that is the dividing of the United Kingdom. I think the greatest, the most important thing any people have is unity. And I think we should be all staying, doing whatever we have to do, putting in every ounce of effort we can to maintaining the united, the unity of Great Britain, and then turning our guns on Westminster, because it isn't just the Scots who suffered under these useless so-and-sos at Westminster. It's every one of us in this country. It's all the working peoples of Britain, the English, the Welsh, the Irish, exactly the same. And I know Jay said that. He actually said that. But his answer is to divide the people from Scotland from the rest of us. And my answer is we should be moving heaven and earth to keep the unity.
Hey, but look.
And then fight together.
Look at what they... I mean, the way I see everything you said, and I do agree with you as well. It's when it comes down to it, nobody wants to break up the union. I remember seeing the Commonwealth Games in recent months and seeing what a togetherness there was. And as soon as the politicians got involved afterwards, they kind of ripped that togetherness apart. So it's kind of sad. And I hear everything that you say. But this is their way to dump our government. And I honestly, I can't blame them for doing it.
I fully get that, but it is effectively thrown out the baby with the bathwater. Because yes, they're going to dump Cameron, Miliband, and Clegg. Yes, they're going to do that, and I can fully understand the reason for wanting to do it. But what they throw out at the same time is unity. And what we need in this country desperately is for ordinary working families to stand together. And I don't think anything is more important than unity between the ordinary peoples of this country. And it's about to be trashed. And I totally agree with Jay that the problem is Westminster. The campaign to keep the union intact has been absolutely pathetic. Putting Alistair Darling in control of it was only ever going to result in what we've actually got. The man is, you know, a leading light in the political forces that destroyed Britain.
Do you know what I think? I think if you'd put somebody like Jay in charge of the Yes up in Scotland, and you know, he's not a political figure. He's just, and I'll tell you this, he's just a normal bloke from Scotland who's got these ideas, and he can actually see the bigger picture. The vote would be huge for Yes. It really would. I think the politicians have spoilt this. They really have. They've just made it a mud-slinging match, and it hasn't happened the way that it should. And we're no further down the road with knowing which is best for us. Is it Yes best? Is it no best? But I mean, just listening to Jay, you've got to go with the Yes vote.
Well, what we want is the best possible situation would be the Yes vote for the whole of the UK to rid itself of Cameron and co. That would be the ultimate solution. And that's what Jay actually did say. He's saying it really is time for the English to get their act together. Couldn't agree with him more. But I think the division that Salmond has already created in Scotland. I mean, for instance, regardless of the vote on when it all comes in on Friday, if it's 50%, 51% one side, 49% the other, that's not a mandate to radically change Britain or to create independence. Salmond can't honestly and rightfully and morally say, right, we're going to create Scotland an independent country now, if 49% of the people have said no.
Yeah,
that's not right. That's not democratic.
You're right. Jackie kind of made that point earlier on, and I kind of agree. There should have been maybe a level, a figure of, you know, something.
Well, do you know what it means, Ian? It means that we're now going to be in for a series of these referendums, because if it is close... You know, there's going to have to be another referendum to make the people decide again a year or so down the line, and possibly another one after that. On the other hand, if Salmon gets his way and it's about 70%, then that's it. It's job done. You know, the union is trashed and he's won.
But from your point of view, if it was almost 50-50, so they couldn't decide... That would be a good thing to sort of maybe say, hey, hang on a minute, there isn't a majority. Do they need a majority? That's the question.
Well, democracy demands it, I would have said.
Well, just say, for instance, if the vote...
If it gets 51%, you can't bust up the union for that.
Well, I kind of agree, and I see where you're coming from. But, I mean, if that was the case, that would bide people a bit of time, if not anything else.
The great thing about this, there is one thing about it, Ian, that's going to be very positive, and that is that there has to be an autopsy immediately after this onto what happened to kill the United Kingdom. And the politicians are not going to be able to say, oh, it weren't nothing to do with me, Governor. They won't be able to get away with that, because people are going to be wanting to know, and the media should want to know, and every journalist in the land should be banging on the door at 10 Downing Street saying, look, how the hell did we manage to go in the space of half a century from the most stable country on earth to a country that has torn itself apart. Where does the fault lie? It lies with politicians who've allowed the country to die and get in this terrible mess. They're going to have to answer for it, and I don't think there's going to be any getting away from it for Cameron and co.
I agree with what you just said, and I think it's a great way to end the show as well.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you. Cheers.
Have a nice day.
And you. I can't add anything to that. It's, to me, is common sense. It's 2 minutes away from 1 o'clock. It's interesting. We'll see what happens come Friday morning. I think it's going to be incredibly close. I wouldn't mind betting there's recounts aplenty, and they'll keep you guessing until late into Friday. I think it's going to be that close. This time last week, I didn't think it was going to be as close as that. But I say, there's all these dirty tactics that have happened in the last couple of days on both sides, and I just think people are, you know, maybe being a bit sort of playing their cards close to their chest. There's an awful lot of people that would not say how they're going to vote. Be interesting to see how the votes do come out on Friday. Thanks for your calls. Thanks for your messages. We're back tomorrow.